Investigator Radio on BBSRadio.com. Paranormal Investigator. Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Hi, welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio, right here in downtown Rome, New York, from DiPaolo's Mexican restaurant. My name, yeehaw, Chili Relleno time,
this
and welcome.
Never get old.
Andale, andale.
My name is Steve Roscoe, and I am joined by a few of my friends. Who are they?
I'm Mike Perillo.
Hola, es Pedro.
Bueno.
I thought it was family, so I had to be a friend. But I'm Mark Berry.
¿Qué harán ustedes los libros a la página 22?
Agua caliente.
Hot water. Isn't it?
Hot water, yes.
I learned
actually,
something.
Actually, that's a racetrack in San Diego, California.
I know, andale, andale.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
I learned something
the
from
caliente,
Speedy
Gonzales,
yeah, and my Spanish class.
Yes.
So.
Andale, andale.
Camarero, dos pocos cuales y papas filis, por favor.
Arriba, arriba.
So we got a phone number where everybody can reach us at?
I just played the clip, Steve.
Oh,
and if that kid
that's
calls,
that's how much I pay attention to the clips, Mark.
He was mentally preparing his Spanish.
And if you thought we took care of that kid on the last hour, call back. I double dog dare you.
Please go on.
How do you say dog? Perro?
No,
I have
Those
no
pal.
Idea.
Did
I know
he,
how to say a few words that I can't
up,
say on the
you,
air.
Did you mute him when he called back to apologize?
A couple of different things happened during that, actually.
Because in my head, all I picture is him calling to apologize because he's really getting ravaged by a ghost.
No, that's the gentleman I called that were out
and
in
he's
his
like,
zip code.
He's like, hey, I'm sorry. And just as the ghost got him, that's when you muted him.
Guys, I'm sorry for this ghost. It's really bothering me.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're paranormal investigators by night. We're known as Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. But by the day, we have a day job. It's called the Uncle's Agency. We do things that the police can't do. So that kid found out the hard way what happens when you mess with RIP.
Broadcasting that on the air may not be the best idea. No.
We'll come and find you!
So
we're already there.
Wow, guys. Wow.
We employ a whole host of psychics. How do you think we're able to find you?
There, now I've lit the fuse.
See,
let
psychics.
It begin.
Didn't we just cover this last time?
Yeah, but this is BBS. This is the better radio station. We need to really lift up everybody's spirits.
I didn't even introduce myself.
I'm
Larry O'Grady. This is the better radio station.
The Irish Car Bomb.
Oh,
Larry
the bomb. How you doing?
You can't say bomb on the air, Steve.
Oh, wait. The car bomb. Wait a minute. The Irish car
Steve.
Bomb. Larry O'Grady.
Still can't
say a can
bomb
of Guinness.
On the
so now I am. I'm. Oh, look. The Rome police are right here in our.
Yeah, I'm going to end up having the FBI at my door and everything later.
If all goes well, I'll be working for them someday. So.
Do you want to get
the
badge?
IRA?
I got Mulder's badge.
I applied already.
The IRA? They take applications.
FBI. No, the IRA should, though, too. Yeah, you don't want to mess with Larry over here. I think you might actually be the local host of the IRA.
Actually,
well, that'll get the FBI brought to your house.
I submitted your photo to the IRA earlier.
So,
it's on Facebook, bro.
We have not had a show on BBS, actually, since the conclusion of Scarecon.
In a very long time, yeah.
Partially that was my fault with my eye problem last
yes,
week.
Yes, last week, it was 2 weeks ago, actually. Last episode, we had a couple issues that prevented us from being on the show, unfortunately.
I was too busy having a needle stuck in my eye.
I was too busy sitting in the parking lot for an hour because nobody told me there was no radio show.
I was in the hospital.
So, there you go.
You guys
get over that in the hospital.
I know.
Kathy climbed a mountain with a missing organ.
Let me tell you.
It's a vestigial organ. It was an organ.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you what I had was excruciating pain. But, you know, next time
I
have
that.
But let me tell you something. Next time I'm in the hospital for anything, I'm doing the show from the hospital because we had a lot of nurses there that were really interested in. Actually, one on the night shift kept waking me up every night.
Really now?
Yes.
You had a sponge bath in the middle of the night?
Yes, absolutely.
Steve,
during the day, during the night.
You don't have all those problems if you drink whiskey.
See, I would be dead if I drank whiskey. But no, actually, all kidding aside, a lot of the nurses would come in and ask me some questions. And it was really cool because a lot of them seemed genuinely interested. And, well, you're a paranormal investigator? Yes, I am. And then, this, like I said, this one nurse at night, she just every once in a while, she'd pop in. I don't know if it was during a break or she just found a way to slip in and out of the room there. But, hey, what was the scariest thing that happened to you being woken up by a nurse?
There you go.
But they were all genuinely very nice people, and they took good care of me.
He was wearing a dress. He sort of looked like Batman there. What was his name? Dressed as the Joker.
So you're saying she was ugly, Steve?
Oh, no, absolutely not. You know what? Okay. A lot of the nurses that were there in this particular hospital, we won't give a plug out, but were very nice looking. I had one girl there that was in the morning shift was, yeah, real nice.
He was told to call them in the morning if he had any problems. So.
Doctor said take two of these and call them in the morning.
So.
And you said take two of these and call in the morning.
Hey, I got something
for
you. Got a couple two tree things for
you. Got a couple two tree of these.
We're ready to go. Wait a minute. Let's stop right now before it goes right down.
We already made the promise to our listeners not to degrade to that point again.
That's true.
Yes, but this is an a West Coast show. Mike has to give them the information he knows about the Asian thing we talked about earlier. They need to know this on the West Coast.
Yes.
Since they're practically your neighbors.
The Aka, I forgot what it was called.
Oh, man.
The Aka Marto?
No.
Mato.
Akamato.
Akamato. That's a band, isn't it?
I don't know.
Sean Lennon?
That's Anthrax.
It's Chiba Mato. The Aka.
Sean Lennon is not Anthrax.
The Akamato.
There's actually a wiki page for this. That is
disturbing. Is there really?
Yes. The Akamanto, the red cape, is
yeah,
the term.
Yeah, it wears a mask and it dresses like a superhero.
It's a Japanese urban legend about a malicious spirit who haunts public and school toilets, who will ask if you want red paper or blue paper when you run out of toilet paper. In some versions, he'll ask if you want a red or a blue cape, which I would never want to wipe with.
Oh, that's bad.
You laugh like Fred Flintstone.
So interesting. And interestingly enough, Mike tells us the best. What's the story with the paper?
It starts, as you said, you're in the restroom and you realize you have no toilet paper to finish the job. And you hear a disembodied voice ask if you would rather like red or blue paper. If you choose the red, the spirit manifests in front of you, proceeds to rip the flesh off of your body and twirl it around the bathroom, spattering the inside of the stall till it's covered red. If you should opt to have the blue paper because you're attached to your skin, then the spirit manifests in front of you and proceeds to choke you till you are blue in the face and dead.
That's why I use my sock.
Be a man, use your hand.
If you should try to figure out the spirit, I'm going to outsmart it and either do not answer the question or respond with another color, then it sucks you through the toilet into hell. The only way to get out of the situation alive is to say you want yellow toilet paper, in which case it just plunges your head into the toilet.
And by that time, you don't want to be alive.
The legend I'm reading does not mention the yellow, but we'll have to try that.
The website, yeah.
It says, if you're sitting in a toilet, usually the last stall, a mysterious voice will ask if you want red paper or blue paper.
Yeah.
If you answer red paper, you'll be sliced apart until your clothes are stained red. If you choose blue paper, you will be strangled until your face turns blue. Any attempt to outsmart Akamanto by asking for a different color will result in you being dragged to the netherworld. The only correct answer is to say no paper, and he will leave you alone.
Oh, see, my source said yellow paper, and then you get a swirly, but you're left alive.
So your source just wants you to get a swirly.
Hey, there's no shame in having it touch the cloth. Just don't worry about it. Let it rub against the cloth. It's not going to matter. You know, being torn to shreds or having a skid mark, go with the skid mark. I mean, it's only embarrassment, and if you have friends, it'll be a couple months.
If you're in a public restroom, and you're like, darn, I'm out of toilet paper, and you suddenly hear blue or red toilet paper.
I'd probably laugh.
First, I'd go again. Then pass out. And when I woke up, hopefully the paramedics are there.
I just had a brainstorm, guys.
You want to start inhabiting glass dolls in public restrooms?
No, maybe
that happens in parks all the time.
Maybe that's the importance of the three seashells. They somehow defeat the Akamanto.
Maybe. Got to push it in the right order.
Because some of those are razor sharp. I mean, primitive cultures use those as knives. You might be able to cut the spirit with the shell.
Cut him before he cuts you.
And then you still have the two left to use them. Has anybody ever out there, we're talking about the movie Demolition Man. One of the greatest mysteries of the universe is what the hell are the three seashells used for? And at one
it's
point,
up there with what's in the box in Pulp Fiction.
At one point, I think me and Mark and someone else, we searched the internets an entire day, and we found a chart on how to use the three seashells.
The three seashells.
Believe it or not, you use two of them like chopsticks to basically encrust... to remove any dinglage.
Oh, kind of
and
like,
then,
like a paint scraper?
Yeah, the third one is the third one.
No. So Tuda took... It's not a pretty picture, by any means. By any means. Okay, we said we weren't degrading to this, guys. Damn it.
Is this like the scatomancing thing we
why do we always end
of?
Up on that topic? Every time.
Right now,
it's always bathroom ghosts and scrying poo. So what the
because you know what bathrooms and you know scat.
We spend
and
most of our life in the bathroom.
Yeah, but on Star Trek they poop perfectly there because technology is to that level.
Well, I think it's just the vortex of pressure beneath them. Just
free. I poop perfectly. I mean, granted, there's some times where you have the imp where you go and you're like, yeah, that was a really good one. But for the most part, I'm pretty satisfied when I go.
So something else more paranormal related.
Akamanto.
Speaking of paranormal, all of us, what we were talking about.
I've never heard heard it put that way, Mike. Thank you very much.
Yes. We haven't had a show since Scarecom with it for BBS Radio. And Pete's watching the video on WKTV of one of our investigators, Melissa, doing an actual...
She got the proton pack.
Yep, she's doing an interview with some folks that were there. It's actually a great thing to watch. So hit up WKTV.com and take a watch of the Scarecon coverage by Melissa Kroll. It's an interesting event we've been to since the inception, and we've been an integral part until this year, so we actually had a chance to sit back and relax and enjoy the event for once.
And I found it thoroughly enjoyable.
Mike was for once not chained to the booth. It was ridiculous.
No chains to the booth for you, Mike.
Larry has some stories, but we can't tell them on the air.
I don't have stories. Do I have stories?
Not yet. You didn't actually kick anybody this year. That was a good thing.
I didn't kick anybody ever.
But he has the greatest bathroom story of all time. We just can't tell it on the air.
Oh, my God. Yes, I totally can.
Are we returning to the bathroom, gentlemen, really?
Why are we back here? Why? No more bathroom stories. None.
It involves coconuts, and we'll just leave it at that.
No, we're not.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, my God, guys, no.
Where are we talking about?
It doesn't matter at this point.
But the event was pretty good.
Yes, we had
it was
fun.
An enjoyable time.
We actually had some interesting experiences with and these are people experiences, not paranormal experiences, with the lectures and the individual event features as well. I mean, the parties are always what they are, but the lectures were interesting because we had a pair of panels on Saturday and Sunday that we were sitting on that were, what was it, Ghost Hunting the Basics or something, or Paranormal Investigating the Basics 101. It was an interesting...
Paranormal 101.
Right, it was an interesting experience to actually be able to sit on one of those panels, because I was participating this year, and hear the answers that the others were giving on the panel. And it was Dr. Dave, Pete, myself, and Rich were on the panel from our team, kind of mostly because they didn't all show up right away, so we kind of just took the brunt of it, started answering questions. People weren't sitting there waiting. And we had John Brightman there, who seemed like he was pretty well versed in what he was talking about, and he actually agreed with us more often than not on what we were discussing. It was a good stance.
John, dude, he's like 7.5 feet tall.
Yeah, he's so tall, information just pours into his head.
It has to be. He's getting the internet superhighway.
Yeah, right.
Superhighway.
Like,
we're not getting
just mainlined into his skull.
Right. So he's actually quite versed in what he's talking about. It was a good experience. And then we had Scott from Paracuse was there as well. He showed up after a little while. And I mean, he was involved in the event more so he was obviously busy, but he even had, I mean, he has a very different view of things. He has the very spiritual view of things while we try and stick to a more technological, scientific style of what we do. But it was an interesting idea that they're interesting to see that we still agreed on a lot of things, and people had, and actually it was, I think it was Pete that was saying this, people have actually started asking more informed questions. It's no longer,
what's the scariest thing you've ever seen?
It's now
actual questions
like, you know, people asking, well, what is there? What happens after death? Or what does this equipment do? Huh? Why do you look for these fields? Actual informed questions.
Animal spirits were a big one this year.
Yes, they were. That's actually a good topic for us, too.
We covered it on a show, didn't we?
A lot of questions.
We're about to.
A lot of questions about animal ghosts.
Go.
I think there were three people asking, but they had a couple other questions, but it was about animal ghosts, and I guess you don't hear a lot about it, but it's a valid question.
I don't think I've ever had an animal experience in the paranormal. You got to pay for that sort of thing.
Here's the thing about animal spirits. This is the way I kind of look at it, is if you believe in God, aren't they God's...
Long pause.
Aren't they God's creation also?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And if they're God's creation, why wouldn't they? If they're here to make us happy or to be our companions, why wouldn't they?
Because God didn't create them to be our companions.
I'm talking about domestic, and I'm talking about a dog.
I'm just going on what I've always been told, being raised Catholic, and what you read in the Bible. Animals just were. That's why God created us to be Lord of.
Since we're actually okay, biblical sense. Now that we're there, Steve, you drove us right into the good book.
Oh, of course.
As it's viewed,
you brought us there, Steve.
It's all your fault. It's about to get real in this house. Okay?
Oh yeah.
Now
real.
That is the worst. Anyway, we were given command and authority over all of them to use them as we see all fit.
Okay.
Much. So man actually domesticated them many, many, many years after the supposed events.
Yeah. True. I guess if you want to go there. Yeah.
Nothing was technically created to be your pet. Especially because if you go over to China where they're using... Oh, I'm sorry. It's Japan. the red blue paper. But they're actually eating animals we consider to be domesticated.
Yeah.
And we eat animals that are considered to be sacred in other countries.
Do you realize that in India, I believe it's India, that the cow is very sacred.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying.
And
yes.
Out there they say... Oh,
and if you go to Korea... They actually have in their deli dogs hanging there like sides of beef.
Yeah.
Which I view it as a horrible thing because I'm an animal lover. I actually would love to have a dog. But
it's one of those things where
we view them very differently. It's just a moral situation.
But do they have a soul or a spirit?
No, and that's where it comes into play.
They have a spirit, but they don't have a soul.
Right. Even when Mike's brother was here, Father Bonifaci there, and when he was here, he even was discussing how it's not possible in the same sense biblically for them to have a soul than a person would. A spirit or an essence?
Sure.
Why not? I mean, I view it as, because I'm taking the whole biblical thing out of it even, we've had things happen in our homes, like my own home, where I can almost guarantee it's got to be an animal. Like I've seen, out of the corner of your eye, something run by it. You know, no higher than half
the knee. I was about to say that.
It's got
to
be an animal.
I had lost a very, very beloved pet about six years ago. It'll be very this year. And she was black. And she was by part black lab, part German shepherd. And she, and every once in a while, I'll turn around and I'll see something whiz by. Or even out of the corner of my eye, I'll catch a glimpse of something sitting there, and it's about dog high. But I brought this new dog home about 6 years ago, and when I brought this puppy home, she went right to, because I have my other dog in her urn. She went, no kidding, brought her the instant I brought her into the house.
First place.
Put her down. First place she went to the curio cabinet. Looked right up there and started barking.
Right, so we don't.
And here's another thing too. If you want to look at it this way too, and I don't know if we touched on this. I'm sure we have. But do dogs and cats see different things?
We have touched on that, and that's one of those things where we know for a fact scientifically that they can see different spectrums of light, different methods.
So I thought that was kind of very peculiar that the very first time she came in the house, the very second she came in the house, she went over there. Looked up and started going off.
It's interesting. And then there's the belief that animals are more sensitive. But.
Not to be the bad guy here, but...
you're always a bad guy,
Mike. You had your dog cremated? Or your cat cremated?
My dog, yes.
Whatever. Maybe it just smelled barbecue to Doug. Dog just ran over.
Well, I would think after a few years that or a few months.
I'm pretty sure that they're actually sealed. They have to be hermetically sealed.
Yes.
There's a reason for that. You can't do dog.
Well, actually, you can lift the lid on her urn and.
Oh, really?
You can see them in the bag. Yeah, but I thought it was. Now is she smelling something? You know, Mike, maybe
that
she is. And that could be absolutely
that,
it.
That is the paranormal investigator in Mike right there is asking the question.
I can't say to you, Mike, you know, I think you're full of baloney, but, you know, you might be right, you know?
Kind of like you said, you see things of it every now and then that you feel is...
But if it wasn't that, what was she seeing? That's what I, you know, you never know. You never know.
Well, that's the problem with animals, because, and trust me, I'm a huge... believer in spirits and whatnot, but the problem with animals is their senses are so much beyond ours.
Oh, sure.
And especially like nowadays, I think that this is based on no scientific anything or not, just especially as technology advances with so much, how they say all the wireless sounds or wireless communications messing us up.
Right.
Well, imagine what it's doing to animals whose senses are so much, you know what I mean? Like all that power pouring through walls, can a dog. Does your dog hear all this electricity pouring through a freaking wall, or
it's extremely possible.
Or even like birds that navigate through electromagnetic sensing with all the freaking wireless signals.
First off, shut your mouth. No,
I always wanted to
shut
do that.
Your
I'm
mouth.
Sorry. No. Cats are aliens. We know that. That's first and foremost. That they're not really on a human spectrum. Cats are aliens. I'm reminded of that story, that joke about the guy whose dog passed away, and he went to the Lutheran minister. He's like, I'd like to bury the dog. And he's like, no, you can't do that. Went through all these religions. Then finally ended up at the Irish priest. And he's like, Father, I'll give you $100. I want to bury my dog in the Catholics. Well, come right on in. Why didn't you say the dog was Catholic? But no. Where do we draw a line? I mean... I understand the part. Are there a trillion, trillion, trillion times trillion mosquitoes in heaven, or flies, or what are we considering an animal? Where do fish? If there's no water in the next dimension, where are fish?
They just swim through clouds, Pete.
Well, that would be the sky whale, yes.
But maybe if you want to think about
it,
maybe our brains can't really comprehend it. Maybe you don't. I don't know.
What I'm liable to believe is that it's not an actual ghost of an animal. It's a manifestation picked up by either what you're putting out or some other sort of energy latching on to.
See, and I joked about this a couple of weeks ago. Does anybody have we ever... got the spirit of a dinosaur? What kind of damage would that do in all reality?
But here's
the
thing.
You
just said it, too. You just said it, Pete. Where do we draw the line? But what if it's not a line for us to draw?
Exactly. What's that mean?
Exactly. I understand that.
Well, you understand that, but I don't.
Yeah.
If you're going under the law of Moses.
If you want to believe. If you
are over here drawing all kinds of lines.
Way out of the argument. What that is, Steve, that's a cheap way out of the argument.
But no, I'm just saying, what if it's not what if it's not your line to draw or my line to
draw? Actually, technically, I guess it's all perspective because
it's all
from a Christian Catholic perspective.
Sure it is, yes.
From a Christian Catholic perspective, that animal's just a hunk of meat, and when it dies, it just rots in the ground. But if we go back to my earlier comment about such as Native American culture, all your animism cultures that believe everything has a spirit and soul, then that dog's got just as much spark as you do.
Right.
So,
are you telling me I'd like taking the cheap way out of things, Mike?
Well, in that argument, you did.
No, I didn't. It was a good argument. Yes.
You just got bored of it and wanted to end it quickly.
Steve, I'll call you out on that one, actually, because that was your standard end-all. I'm not answering your question.
Yeah.
No. I wouldn't say that either. But I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. What if that is not for us to decide?
But that's not an answer.
But it is, because it may not be your or mine or anybody's line.
At the end of the day,
it may be God's line.
At the end of the day, we don't decide it. It is what it is.
Sure, absolutely.
If the dog has a spirit or not, it's not because me and Mark decided it did.
Sure.
It's just because the dog has a spirit.
Well,
so, it very well could be.
if we shape our own reality.
I'm thinking we should start doing that.
I agree.
I'm actually glad that I'm allergic to seafood because I don't think there's any other animal or whatever you want to call it on this planet that's treated worse than seafood. Fish, lobsters are thrown into boiling pots of water, and I guess you can actually hear them scream.
That's the shell release.
It's
them screaming. It's them screaming. I'll argue with you, the blue in your face. I don't care about that. That's them screaming.
Oh, you heard it scream then?
Trees cry when they're caught. They have recordings of that.
According to Native Americans,
trees cry. Now, see, now, wait a minute. I had never heard that. Trees cry when they're caught. We are now being serenaded by Larry O'Grady.
That was from Pocahontas.
Singing.
No Disney!
See, normally people do show tunes.
Have you ever heard a tree scream? What an axe is.
The problem is when you bring up Disney, we get sued.
When an axe cuts through its bark.
So, anyway.
They're sending a law team on the moon now.
Yeah, exactly. They actually did a study where they took a colony of trees and they had them out there. They had recorders, they had sensors in the ground, or geophones, they had all kinds of setups, listening and recording every possible bit of data they could from these things. They went as far as actually attaching the EEG sensors to the leaves and stuff.
Okay.
And they were actually getting biometric signals off the system, off the trees. Now, they cut one of these trees down, and the second the second they bit into the bark to cut it down, it reacted. That tree sent a signal through the colony, and the other trees actually made noise. They actually made sounds that were picked up on those recorders. They actually reacted to that when being cut down. And the thought was maybe, okay, the roots intertwine. And most of these trees, they do if they're close enough in a colony of trees. The roots begin to intertwine. Is it possible vibrations are picked up from the axe or saw cutting it down? The fact that this was also mimicked on plants that they ripped one leaf from
that is
on a much smaller scale led them to believe that it's actually some form of communication between the plants, because they're not necessarily animals per se, nor are they really sentient, but they have an obvious...
They have living functions.
Right, they actually have... they have existing functions.
You've got to be able to tell when you chop part of it off.
Right.
Well, and they also say that plants grow better when you play music for them.
Certain kinds
of
music.
And when you talk to them, and right. when you, you know...
And there's all kinds of theories behind that. And there's a lot of people who have done extensive testing on that because it's a field that's accepted. Botany. But it's one of those things where it's...
Cryptobotany.
Eventually.
Cryptobotany.
It's legal in New York State now. No. They've worked on all kinds of things between the genetics of the plants and messing with them, but the idea behind a plant reacting to physical, or not physical, but just some form of external stimulus that's not light or water, which is what people believe it always to be. Like, you'll see leaves grow on a plant on one side to get better sun coverage. That's just a survival instinct. You'll see them react if, like, you have the semi-sentient plants that have, like, the Venus fly traps and such that utilize the stimuli from a fly,
or
effectively.
Maybe the silver oak, where the leaves are kind of silver on one side and green on the other. And when it rains, the leaves all turn over. So the actual, like, tree changes color.
Right.
Because they're green normally to catch sunlight, and then when it rains, they
flip
over to the silver side.
To protect the chloroform. Or the chloroform.
Yeah, it's really cool. The chloroform.
Is that where we get chloroform from? Second question is, what are you doing with chloroform?
We get it from Larry's trunk.
What? I got it from Mark's trunk, and you flipped it around on me. What a jerk.
Excuse me, ma'am. Does this smell like chloroform? No, chlorophyll. Sorry.
Chlorophyll.
And I never would have believed it, but I had one outside of one of my houses.
Chlorophyll?
And you know, like, I'd be outside, and it would be kind of sunny and breezy. And then you'd see them all, and within like an hour, it's raining.
Right, and
because the whole tree just like.
And it's interesting because now it detected the rain before.
Slight changes.
The weatherman's 50-50. He gets paid to the weed.
So are you telling me trees and plants are better than Wayne Maher?
I can't speak on that necessarily, but probably. No, and that's the thing. This I don't know how we even got this topic, but it's an interesting topic that I enjoy. So who cares? Anything interesting I enjoy. But the fact that they have a colony of sentience, in a sense. I mean, individually, they're just survival plants. I mean, they do what they can to survive. They have walking trees in certain parts of the freaking jungles that literally.
Now I want to see a tree walk.
Well, they do, and that's the thing. If you're not a native, you get lost in those woods or the rainforest out there because you have no idea where it's leading you. Because one path may not be there a few weeks later. It's not like overnight. It's not Lord of the Rings style where the trees get up move. But
yes,
they actually grow the roots. I mean, the tree's roots extend from about halfway up the tree. And if there's better sunlight somewhere, the roots will extend out of that side of the tree to move the tree in that direction of the sunlight. And then 3 days, 5 days, 2 months, whatever, it's usually over a long period of time, months, you'll see an entire set of the forest just change. The path will disappear because they've moved into that path to collect better sunlight. And it really is interesting that these things do this. So, I don't know. It is what it is, like I said. I have no idea how we even got on the topic, to be honest. And I'm lost.
Well, it's an interesting topic.
Well, I'm going to bring you back to the animals now. So
yes.
You're not done with that.
Thank you. That's where we were. Pete left the room. I forgot where we were.
I've had diabetes. what the hell are those things? Dolphins.
I was going to say ogopogos, but
they talk to each other. What are we determining?
Did you say orphans?
Spirit by size of brain, because then half the people in Rome actually don't fall under that category.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I would think maybe not so much by size of brain, but maybe social activity, not so, but like ability to function outside of your base instincts, such as like a mosquito. Like you brought up. A mosquito's born, gives somebody West Nile virus, dies. That's all a mosquito does. All within like 24 hours.
They're still half a room.
But then you have something like dolphins that are capable, you know, they've proven dolphins have sex for pleasure. Dolphins.
Yes, they do, actually.
There's actually very few creatures on planet besides humans that have sex for pleasure. Elephants are one of them.
Dolphins are one of them.
He's got a big trunk.
I meant dolphins, and I think there's a type of monkey that does too.
A macaque or
something
like that.
But anyway,
the macaw.
The hell do you guys look
at
night on the internet?
Or the fact that
animals sex.
Like dolphins form social groups. They travel together. Where mosquitoes buzz together just because they're.
Do elephants know death? Because when one of their own dies, they do cry.
Elephants are very big social animals.
Yes, they are. They do cry. Yes.
Or the legend of the elephant graveyard, where an elephant knows
and
it's
you know,
dying, so it
and,
goes off
and
to
you
some
know,
spot in the jungle that only
elephants,
Tarzan knows.
Elephants are not the nice, tame little animals at the circus we're all led to believe.
True.
So they can be evil and very nasty.
Well, I mean, any animal can. Any animal's got a dark side. Or, I guess, a real, you know.
The Asian elephant's trunk is a lot smaller than the African elephant.
Well, they usually are.
So let me ask you a question.
Are
they
kidding.
Jealous?
I'm just kidding. They're not. They're not. They're not at all.
I'll tell you what. You guys just almost got
it's
covered.
Their,
with
hey,
ice
Larry.
Tea, but I held
Larry,
it
it's their ears. The Asian elephant is, their ears are smaller.
That's one way to judge, yes. Big hands, big feet.
Big ears. You know, same thing, yes.
So let me
that was a good
keep pushing the buttons here because we're going to get an answer one way or another tonight. So if our spirit guide is out there, please call us in. What is the number for our spirit guide, Alex, to call in?
It's, you know, if we really get stuck on the subject, we can ask Siri about this.
She's already yelled at me tonight. But out of Syracuse, New York, comes one of the most well-known paranormal-related stories of a dog. This female woman, elderly lady, was having a heart attack. Her dog ran across the street and kept barking at a neighbor's house, kept barking, till the guy went and seen the dog and said, oh, this is so-and-so's dog. Brought the dog, walked the dog over to the house, found her on the floor that she was having a heart attack, called 911. This and that, they brought her to the hospital and the guy said, you know, everyone was like, well, the dog didn't come and tell us that you were having a heart attack.
How did the dog get out of the house?
The dog had died like 6 years earlier.
Oh!
That's
the clincher of that story.
For 6 months or 6 years. I forgot whether it was years or months, but it was dead for a while. And
that's the clincher.
She's like, my dog's been dead for a while.
The neighbor didn't know the dog had been dead?
No.
Real tight neighbors.
That's very interesting.
I don't buy it.
Well, I'm just saying, it's one of those stories that are out there. I mean, do they stay by their master? That's I guess you said they have a spirit but not a soul, is that, or vice versa? I don't remember what
spirit not a soul.
Spirit.
I will go on record.
But
I will.
That's
say,
only as like
I know from the Judeo-Catholic belief of that
but
we're allowed to
also
eat all animals.
Point. Like, was it the actual spirit of the dog, or was it something the woman herself manifested that just happened to take the form of this thing that she's comfortable with being, or you know what I mean?
Sort of like Game of Thrones, where they all have a wolf.
Like if it's a weird version of astral projection, instead of by location, her
RSPK.
Spirit became a dog, ran across, got the neighbor, and
I don't know. I'm just
throwing it out there.
What if this? It's just the same energy. What if it's just the same energy? All right, that basically powers us and powers our conscious mind. Same amount of energy in a dog. It's just their dogs. Their brains aren't wired up the same way as ours to think logically, to speak, to do things. You know what I mean? It's the same. I just think the way I think is it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff in a different vehicle.
Let me rock your world now. As a mother gives birth, her energy goes to the child. Do we transfer some of us to our animal? Is that possible?
Maybe.
Is that how we give them a soul? We're giving them a piece of us?
Because that depends how close you are to your animal.
Well, in Texas.
No. Oh, there's a whole different subject for not this show.
But no,
I agree. I think kind of like, you know, if you, like a husband and wife live together long enough, do they
right.
sort of rub off on one another?
Their periods start to end.
Yeah. Energistically speaking.
A husband and wife whose periods get into cycle?
Energistically.
Oh, okay.
Energistically.
No, if you...
We just created a new word on the TV.
It was a joke.
No, I know. I'm not even getting into that. I'm trying to actually comprehend what Mike is saying.
Oh, energistically?
No, I'm not even that. If you... Yes, I feel... Well, Pete even said it. Well, somebody said it. I'm not paying attention. It's our own show. I'm not listening. No.
Nobody else is.
If you think about it, if we can have something haunt an item, we have something haunt a person, we have something haunt a location, why can't, if these things are the same energy that possibly create these spirits that we're interacting with, why can't they haunt a person, an object, or not? I mean, somebody can have a haunted leash in the same sense.
I guess at the end of the day, I guess what you could say is there's a universal energy.
Right.
And the details are sort of irrelevant.
If you
just, it's almost like on a personal level is what makes the details. But right, that's what you're getting at, this universal
energy. It's just there.
Different form.
It's just there. And that's what can cause...
And a dog can't process like we do.
Exactly.
So a dog will never stand up and be like, hey, man.
Right. So
a dog...
If I go home and my dog goes to me and goes, where the heck were you all night?
It'll just look at you with accusing eyes.
But here's the thing. Say something happens where a dog's brain evolves into something else. It will be able to... consciously think, okay, wait, and problem solve and things like that. I mean, who knows still? I mean, nobody knows, but it kind of makes sense. I mean, if that
energy
is everywhere and it's
all
around us.
If we take into consideration...
Like the Force.
So a dog's got a soul.
So Larry, what's your metaphorian count?
Did you just say like the Force?
Because we have that. Trekkies don't.
A dog's got a soul that just stares out of dead eyes, kind of like strippers.
But less sexy.
That is
more sexy.
That is Mike. You can call him right here at the radio station. All strippers.
No, please.
Yes, please.
No.
You know what? I scratched that. It's just as sexy.
I support anyone going to law school, med school, or just with severe daddy issues.
The daddy issues ones are fun, though.
Oh, always living up to the title, Paranormal Investigator Radio, here on BBS Radio Network, Station 2. I'm looking for the phone number.
So, I believe it's 888-429-5471. If I'm wrong, the website's wrong, which I apologize.
Please give us a call.
Oh, I was trying to find the website.
Yeah,
I got
the website up.
But the daddy issue ones never shut up. They always got to talk and talk and tell you about their three kids and why their ex-husband's in jail.
Larry.
And he's going to be getting out soon.
Larry.
And then she never tells you he got out.
Larry.
So then he just like shows up one
Larry.
Day.
Speaking of universal energy.
Yes. This is not the Midnight Caller. And this isn't personal talk radio. This is paranormal talk radio. So are you saying they have girls with daddy issues that are paranormal?
Did you come to ScareCon, Steve?
No, I haven't.
You have to. No. I don't even know where we were anymore.
I'm just kidding. Okay, all right, let's go back to
animals
the
animals and
souls.
I know.
Yeah,
animals.
So Larry is looking for a girl to call up who has daddy issues.
So...
Did you get the point of the story? I don't want a girl with daddy issues.
Oh, good luck with that, buddy.
That's 1-800-LARRY.
Yeah.
Especially living around
Give him
here.
A call day or night.
We'll be reserving that number tonight.
1-800-LARRY.
Okay, all right. So we're thinking. So
there's
we're thinking
universal
that it's
energy.
Universal energy.
Universal
just
energy.
An energy in general. That when, say, okay, for example, like when a human is developing, when a baby is developing, not... In the womb, let's say the baby's already born, so we can get away from a whole discussion about.
You know,
this.
I got to ask you a question before you finish that. Let me. When does
Okay, so a baby's born. Baby's born as its mind and brain is developing, it's able to store more information, kind of like building a computer and putting more memory into
Correct.
It. And more memory into it. See, that's that. A dog, on the other hand, will stop at around. They say a dog, the average dog, has the intelligence of like a 3 or 4 year old
at
human
best,
child,
yes.
And a cat as well. They can.
Well,
see
I'm fairly sure
but,
they actually rule the world. I mean, I'm
cat.
Not.
Oh, totally, dude.
But now, okay.
But that's besides the point. What I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is, it's. This would answer so many questions about people having past life experiences, because if it's a general energy and it disperses in the environment and then it just starts like, what if the way your brain is wired up, you're actually, as your brain
actually,
is developing, you're grabbing energy from all over the place. It could have been from somebody from 100 years ago.
I
it could
have
be
a friend
somebody.
Who's a big believer in past life, and she's had past life reading, stuff like that. And what I found interesting, which I never... I mean, having followed the paranormal for a very long time, your past lives is something not new. But what I was just introduced to was exactly how much your past lives affect your modern life. Such as she's a big believer of the fact that like she's very afraid to be in water over her head. And one of these past lives, which you got to go through psychics for that, but one of her past life counselors
or skilled hypnotist,
past life counselor, whoever, have told her that... one of her past lives, she died on a boat that sank. So it's that like inherent fear of that.
Man, what if it was such a harsh thing that happened
that
to
it
her?
Imprinted
that it imprinted
on
just like
that
just
energy
like
that.
Just like how if we're sitting here asking like an entity at an investigation or a home or something, like why can they? That's why I like to keep EVPs simple. I'll do a banana. I'll draw a banana. I'll draw an apple. I'll say these things because these things are so. I mean, words, cat, dog.
Yeah,
these things, they're easy
life.
To say because they've been burnt into your psyche for so long.
It just seems that so much of this energy, like, I kind of like the theory because it kind of affects a lot of things. Not a fact, but, like, it answers questions of why you have certain likes and dislikes. That, like, I'm Italian descent, and I was raised by my dad. My father's family, big believers that if you're Italian, it's the best. There's nothing greater than being Italian. So I was raised, and we weren't allowed to eat sauce out of a jar. I was probably 21 before I ate sauce out of a jar for the first time. Because it had to be homemade sauce or it wasn't repeat.
There was
death. To this.
Death.
Yeah, death was, oh, we had spaghetti. That wasn't spaghetti. Where'd the sauce come from? A jar is not spaghetti. You know,
spaghetti and piss.
To the point where my grandmother at one point, this is quoted from her, told my cousin, because my cousin was visiting another church or whatever, that it didn't matter because God only listens to prayers coming out of St. John's Church.
Oh, my God.
Like, not even the Vatican. So the Pope got to come to Rome or God
well,
won't listen. Because
Jesus is the seventh that the Romans pray to.
So I grew up in this very pro-Italian. It was, like, all I knew. But since I was young, I've had a fascination with, like, Celtic culture. But I don't think my dad can say Celtic. But he'd say Celtic because of the basketball team. But I've always liked the music. And so I believe maybe in a past life I was something to do with the British Isles. Or
why
something.
Not? It makes sense.
And it's that universal. So I agree with what you're saying.
You know, Mike, you may have a...
No,
that was my long-winded way of saying Italians number one, yeah! No,
no but you know, it's very legitimate.
And here's another thing. Say that as your... God damn it, I'm going to lose the thought. Hang on. I'm going to lose
Dad's
the thought.
Dad's going to get us calls.
God doesn't need a dam. He can walk on water.
Okay, all right. So you
like
are...
That.
This people will wonder why doesn't it happen all the time? Why couldn't it happen all the time? Well, why doesn't it happen to everyone? Well, here's the thing. What if there are alternate, what if there are like different universes, but our human chemistry cannot comprehend how these other beings on these different planes.
Happens to everyone, we just don't
But we
process.
Can't comprehend it.
There's a reason why we only use, what, 8% of our brain?
Well, I had to, okay.
3%,
I believe. No, 10.
No,
10.
We.
In Rome, it may be 3%. Okay, a human being doesn't use any more than about approximately 10% of his brain at any given time. The entire brain is always used at different parts, different things.
Right.
Different things.
Yes.
It's always engaged at different points in time. At a single moment in time, very rarely do you use any more than 10%, but the entire brain is used.
Well, it's because each part does a different
right.
function.
Which
brain
it's a,
are you talking
it's a huge,
about?
The one in the head up here, Pete.
Okay, because there's one below the belt.
No. That would make different decisions.
As men, it does most of our thinking.
But in reality... That's a huge misconception. I've had to actually argue with a doctor about this. Not a MD, I should say.
About the brain being below the belt?
No, about it not being a big bowl of Jell-O. I mean, it's not just you have 10% of a brain and a big bowl of Jell-O.
Oh, yeah, no.
And that, but that's a huge misconception people make. And they say, all these people think that, oh, they can use 100.
There's just one other part.
They can use 25% of their brain, like this movie coming out, Lucy or whatever, or the other one that had, what's his name? I forget.
Bradley Cooper. Yeah.
Yes, that
yeah.
one. Limitless. You really, if you actually engaged that much more of your brain that way, it'd probably kill you because now you're, the emotion centers, this is what happens with autism, I think, and people who are the savants and such. Different parts of their brain are overwritten to do perform a different task.
Yeah.
The guy who can do extremely intense calculations with his brain, like to the point where people can't do it on calculators nearly as fast as he can, and you're talking about massive numbers, and he can do square roots of those numbers. It's all from memory. He engages the color, the parts of his brain that recognize color, not numbers. And that's the part that throws off scientists, but that's a much more massive part of your brain because it's linked to the visual cortex. Not this part in the back of your head saying, I memorized how to multiply 12 times 12. It's the part that says, this is red. And everything you see is involved with this. So that's why he's capable of doing these things.
Okay, Mark, so
imagine being able to see inside of his brain while he's doing
this. If I could see inside his brain, I'd have a whole different problem myself.
That would be insane to see how he sees, how he uses math and numbers. How does he view math and numbers with his brain?
And that's what they did that with an EEG. That's how they determined what part of his brain, and or MR, CAT scan, whatever the hell device they put in, magnetic resonating, MRI. They put him in that machine to determine what he was using when he was doing it, why he was able to do these intense calculations. And it was because he was using a separate part of his brain, not functionally designed for that purpose to do these things. So
yeah.
it very well could be based on an evolutionary level of our brain, what we're using, how we're using it, and the percentage of our brain we use. Yeah, he's technically using more of his brain for a purpose that's not designed to be used for. Well, design is a bad term, too.
It's the same thing.
No, but then back to Larry's energy concept, it also has a perfect explanation of all kinds of separate pieces there, especially like what we're looking for. If there's a universal energy, and this is the perfect differentiation for religion when I talk to people about it, too. There's a universal energy. We have a spirit, an essence, an entity, whatever, an energy in us. When we die, that energy may or may not just disperse. When you die naturally, you have your body performing many hundreds of actions simultaneously to wind your body down into death. So you're dying of old age, of sickness, whatever. Your body's saying, time's up, and starts cutting down pieces. It says, we don't need this anymore. Shut it down, all the way through. You die tragically, suddenly. You don't do that. That energy goes, what's going on? And now it's got no more you. Right. Yeah, the body stepped on the brakes. The energy kept going. That's pretty much what happens. And there's this residual possible haunting. There's this possibility of an interactive haunting because now the energy is freed without ever having been said, let's disperse here. So, and then there's an argument there. People say the body's energy disappears as it decomposes. It does not take the amount of energy.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm dying here.
The amount of energy we use on a daily basis, the amount of energy we output, our heart is outputting, I think it's like a 4 or 6 hertz, I don't know off the top of my head, I can't remember, but a certain hertz signal out to about, I don't know, 2 feet from our body at any given time. And it degrades quickly as it goes. So that amount of energy is not being dispersed strictly through decay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We obviously are putting that out somewhere at some point in time. So a natural death may, in a sense, say, okay, little bits and pieces slowly being dispersed.
And there are too many people that think, here's the thing, there's way too many thoughts that this is one kind of life after death and that is it. There, from what you think of, there are so many different things that can happen after death. It could totally dissipate. It could stick around an area. This is my belief that there's not just one type of haunting, ghost, this or that. There isn't.
Right.
There can't be. A perfect world, you die, you dissipate into whatever, and it's peaceful. But
right.
From the looks of it, about 90% of the time, that's not how it happens. It's going to get attached to another being that's born.
And now maybe...
Or it's going to be attached to a place, a dog, a this, that, a leash from a dog, and something. It's different things happen. Or it could just simply be the energy recorded on the environment replaying over and over again, where that is not conscious at all. It's just playing back and forth, or it's stuck someplace, or there's not one set way of any of this. Who's to say that when we die, our energy that we give off when we die, whether you're aware of it or not, stays on our plane of existence? What's
right.
going to stop that from slipping between planes and someone's going to be having a past life experience in a different kind of alternate universe, kind of dimensional thing of my
right.
life?
Absolutely. Even planes are not, even disregard. It's a great concept, but that begins to bring us to a whole level of intellect I'm lacking. But even moving into the planes concept, without that, if we just have this energy dispersing and now a new life is formed, a new baby's born, whatever, and you grow, and as you're growing older and as you said, pulling energy in as you needed it, we're exhausting the energy we're putting out too. So we have that going out, coming in as we require new energy, new power, sleeping, whatever. What's to say you don't pick up on Larry, like whatever, say you go off and die, your energy disperses and somebody picks up on that and now that's their past life.
Exactly. And who's
so they
to say
actually live it, they just pick it up.
They picked it up and
possibly. You may, and that's the thing. But then at that point you did kind of live it because now this energy is part of you.
That's true.
But and that would explain too how people have had past life regressions they've had done by trained hypnotists who are actually psychiatrists, who've had these things done, have had past life regressions where they have experienced something from someone who's 20 years younger than them, or who have had experiences from something that happened 50 years before they were born. The person would have died. Now, what happened in that 50-year gap? But nobody, I mean, it's where are those things? Or something happened during their infancy.
That actually can also explain why sometimes, a lot of times during past life regression, it's never something mundane. It's
right.
never, oh, I was on a fishing boat when I died. It's always, I died on the Titanic.
Or it's even not even necessarily death. People have had past life regression where they didn't die necessarily.
But it's not.
But
like,
it's never, you know, I think I lived a life once as a baker.
Yeah, it's not like
I woke up every morning and
I keep having recurring nightmares of farming a field.
I've done that thanks to Farmville.
What if? Now, I totally get on these what ifs.
That's what we do.
What if?
Wolverine was the
what
king
if,
of vampires.
Yeah.
Actually,
psychics.
Before we jump too deeply into the what if, we only have a few minutes left.
Okay. All right.
So,
all right.
Before we jump too deeply into the what if, maybe that's something for next show.
I got to say it right now because it ties in. I just want to say it real quick. Okay. What if that maybe is developing, all right? Developing, pulling all sorts of energy in. Biologically, it's made up to stop at a certain point. What if psychics, they're biologically made up not to stop. They keep going and going and progressing so they can read your mind, your energy, your thoughts, and
based on this idea of universal energy, instead of the psychics mind actually developing, I think they're just better at manipulating it.
Ooh, yes.
And seeing it around them.
That sounds so...
I had to finally get it. All right, that's all I had to say.
All right, we have things coming up. We have our Rucker Mansion event.
Yes, Rucker Mansion is October 4th this year. The event is sold out. If you have your tickets purchased and you're listening to the show, your tickets will be available. We'll call at the door. You can come pick them up, bring your PayPal receipt, or just your name for the most part. As long as we have you on file, we can confirm it.
If you are a lady with daddy issues, we have one ticket that Larry will award to the lucky lady.
I don't have a – I mean, yes, I have a ticket.
Larry has a stack of tickets.
I have a stack in my hand.
He will be your personal guy for the
evening. Make it rain, Larry.
So the October 4th event will be Rucker Mansions. It'll be an amazing event. It's a multi-hour event.
Sold out.
Presentation sold out, raising money for the Raider – Landmark Society of Greater Utica to help restore the mansions themselves. It's going to be a great event. Always is. Always will be.
15th?
The 15th is...
Aren't we doing library in Whitesboro?
Yes, we are down the public library.
So you people have a better friggin'
mind
than I do.
And on the 24th...
Calendar.
On the 24th... Well, no, because I'll forget.
Same here.
The 24th, we're doing Gloversville.
Yes.
We do have tickets for that. They're very limited.
Yes,
very limited. It's a tiny place, but it's not tiny, but it's
oh no, it's rather large when you're inside.
It's
so much fun. If you get a chance to go, definitely go, because I definitely had personal experience.
The 40,
it was great.
It's
a good place.
Fulton County Museum in Gloversville, New York. It's home of the world's largest glove. I suggest going, whether or not you're going for our event, but I highly suggest going for our event to help them raise some money, keep the lights on, keep the doors open, keep the place running.
Absolutely. It is a wonderful place.
And those tickets are available. All you have to do is get in contact with the Fulton County Museum.
Ryan or Mark at
Fulton County Museum.
Which I have a phone number for you. I apologize for not being on par for this one. The phone number is loading. not loading. The phone number is 518-725-2230.
And let's not forget, this weekend is the Finger Lakes Paracon.
2203. I apologize. 518-725-2203. My number dyslexia kicked in.
And the Finger Lakes Paracon will be in Auburn at the Hilton Hotel. We're only going to be there Saturday at this point, I believe, and I do believe we're doing a lecture.
Yes.
We were scheduled for Saturday and Sunday, but a lot of conflicts have come up. And
I believe it'll be Rich and Peter doing a lecture at the Finger Lakes.
Or whoever's brave enough to come with me.
So that'll be a good time, like always, though. They always are a good time.
Yes, they are.
Other than that, I know you and the good doctor will be touring all over the country on the end of October. They're doing a couple of lectures, different colleges, schools.
Yes!
So, and then MVCC locally in November, correct?
Yes!
There we go. So check your MVCC calendar if you live locally to Rome. If not, check your MVCC calendar if you live locally to Rome.
It's the Halloween Whirlwind Tour. October 29th, Athens University, or Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. Then we'll be going the next night in Atlanta, Georgia, Georgia State University. Then we will be flying back to Saragusa, driving all the way up to SUNY Canton. So 29, 30, 31, the three-day whirlwind tour.
Oh my God. There you go,
ladies and gentlemen.
The Paranormal Cousins.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to bring the Sky Whale with us.
So, again, thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll have a very
interesting,
spirited debate. I'm very sure. They're flying, Mike. They're flying. A very spirited debate the next episode. I hate puns. Again, I'm Mark Berry. Thank you for listening.
Who hates puns?
I'm Mike Perillo.
I'm Larry O'Grady.
I'm Steve Rusko.
And I'm sorry.
Join us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.